Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
The pastor is on the line. Pastor Solomon, good afternoon to you. Welcome back. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. My apologies.
That's all right.
I was in a meeting, and in the meeting, my phone died. I had to rush to charge it.
Okay.
There's a little bit of power.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right. Let's get into it. Let me know, waste your charge power so far. Thank you very much for taking the call anyway, Mfundis. And for those of you who were listening to the song, please forgive me for interrupting it. We had to rush and get to Mfundis Solomon. All right. Today, we're talking about touching the untouchable with Pastor Solomon. And by the way, you know what we're talking about, that lepers, outcasts, the demon-possessed, these were the people Jesus didn't just heal. He touched them, the Bible says. In a world full of religious distance and cultural disgust, Jesus broke taboos with a hand of healing. His compassion was not just emotional. It was physical. It was personal. It was brave. That's why we're talking about this with Pastor Solomon. In Mark chapter 1, Pastor Solomon, chapter 1, verse 40 to 42, Jesus touches a leper. What does this moment teach us about the true compassion of Christ?
Hey, yeah. Christ, our example in all things.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right in saying that that was a bold one.
Yeah.
He was brave
yeah.
in doing what he did. True compassion, what this passage teaches me is that true compassion shows empathy and emotional connection. Maybe Christ isn't asking of us to touch lepers today, but they are bold touches, of course, holy touches of true compassion unfolded in empathy and emotional connection. Mark 1:41 says that Jesus was moved with compassion or moved with pity. That's a deep emotional response, showing that true compassion involves feeling with and for others who are in their moments of low, their moments of suffering, depression, or whatever trouble they may be finding themselves in. God's children are children that represent the example of Jesus, showing true empathy and emotional connection, coming down and feel it with the other one. Not only true compassion in showing empathy and emotional connection, but also true compassion breaks social barriers. In Jewish culture, touching a leper would make a person totally unclean.
Ritually unclean, yes, yes.
Yeah, social outcast, you know. And Jesus' willingness to break through this, to touch the leper, defied these social norms. We spoke about it yesterday, the woman at the well. We know
right,
that story
right.
very well. How he defied that social barrier. Because a soul was in need of a touch. And if we can have that same compassion, and seeing, slowing down, as we said yesterday, and seeing the hurt and the need of others.
Right.
True compassion prioritizes others' needs above our own.
Indeed.
To spoke about these needs.
Indeed.
You know, we live in a very, very selfish world. And as children of God, we must guard that this aroma does not permeate us.
Right.
That we not become so self-centered, self-focused, but to put our needs above
right.
others, the needs of the afflicted, the lowly, the odd one, over our personal comfort and our social acceptance
right.
and
right.
all of it. And lastly, true compassion highlights the significance of a touch, the physical touch.
Yes.
A most powerful demonstration of love and acceptance. And I hope I can expand a little bit more
in fact,
on the importance of touch.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about that, Mfundis. Why is physical contact so significant in a culture where leprosy, particularly leprosy, as you've outlined, meant to be exiled, to be excluded, to be secluded, to be put away?
In Leviticus 13, lepers were commanded to live outside the camp and to shout unclean
yes. Yes.
When people approached them. Touch was, as we said, forbidden.
Right.
The leprosy was represented of sin, shame, and total separation. I read an article that said, you know, just one quote from this article that says, those untouchables live on in isolation and slowly suffer and die from a lack of touch.
Whoa. Okay.
They live in isolation, and maybe they're not dying because of that disease, but they're dying because of a lack of touch.
Wow.
COVID gave us a little hint.
Yeah.
You know, that isolation.
Right.
And maybe a little bit more on that a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But in Luke 5:13, Jesus put out his hand, whew, and he touched.
Okay.
And again, he may not ask us today to go and touch lepers, but... You know, that isolation that leads to physical or spiritual death.
Right.
And for us in the church, you know, there are so many. They're all around us.
Yeah.
And we oftentimes overlook them because we're so self-focused and self-centered, you know, about our own needs, our family needs, that they are oftentimes overlooked. So why is touch so significant in the culture that of then and now? Because it said what words cannot say.
Okay.
It says you matter.
Right.
You belong.
Right.
You're still worthy of love. It restored not only the skin, but it restores the dignity of the person. And
so
that touch, that being present is, we don't know how it may uplift a person and restore dignity and whatever else in a person.
Of course. What about today? Today we don't have leprosy as it was then. Are there outcasts, untouchables in our society today? And who are they?
Mercy.
And how can we reach out?
Oh, mercy, yes. Aren't they around us? Absolutely. Every society has the untouchables.
Okay.
They may not be lepers, but they feel just as isolated as the lepers felt.
Right.
Another article I read said the following. More than 160 million people in India are considered untouchable, not because of leprosy. People that are tainted by their birth into a caste system that deems them impure, less than human. 160 million people seen by the elite as born in the wrong caste system and are considered untouchable. That quotation that we earlier read, how people die because of lack of attention, touch, making them feel worth.
Right,
and that
right.
was Jesus.
Right.
Every single person. He did not pass anyone by. Right. And you know, the effect of this, I mentioned earlier on, COVID gave us a little hint of this. And my own mom, you know, I'm in Durban. I'm originally from Cape Town, and she lives in Cape Town.
Yeah.
She lives not too far from my sister, about 5 minutes walk from my sister.
Okay.
But because of COVID, she had to be isolated.
My mom
is a social person. She's in her years, you know. And I tell you, Brother Pondwana, when I saw her after COVID, it was a completely different person
I
saw.
Oh, man.
That isolation did so much of emotional damage to her even reflected in her physical. So, who are our modern day untouchables? They're the homeless man that we walk past, the single mother at church who sits alone and we just walk past, the person with the criminal past, we just walk past, the teen battling with addiction and we just walk past, the elderly widow in a retirement home with no visitors, we just drive past, even someone with a different race or religion.
Oh man.
That we even silently judge sometimes.
Hey. Okay. So what exactly is stopping us from this? What fears do we have? What prejudices do we harbor that stop us from extending compassion the way Jesus did?
Yeah, sure. There's so much. Probably, you know, sometimes the fear of what others will think or say.
Oh.
You know, the fear of being rejected. Other times it's prejudice. It's just pure prejudice. Acts chapter 10, Peter and Cornelius You know, Peter had his own prejudice against the Gentiles. And before Acts chapter 10, you know, the vision that Peter had,
right,
he would never have invited Gentiles to stay in his house.
Right.
You know, but Peter has given us an example of acting in obedience,
yeah,
to God's guidance by overcoming our own pre-existing prejudices.
Mm.
You know, let's be real. We're in a rainbow nation, but, you know, our world is full of this. And God's people cannot,
yeah,
afford to be like the world. We have been called to be a different people, a peculiar people.
Yeah.
And so the reality, I mean, Peter converted, man, the leader of the church had his own struggle with prejudice.
Yeah.
So yes, that one. Look at the story of Luke 7, 36 to 50, a woman likely known as, maybe known as an immoral woman.
Okay.
She is the one that anoints Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
The Pharisees, what do? They judge her, right?
Yeah.
But Jesus comes and he comes and defends her. And he says, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much. He didn't, okay, let social reputation stop,
right,
him from receiving her love and showing compassion.
Right.
And one commentator says, we are not to say or do anything that would wound unnecessarily.
Yeah.
No one was ever reclaimed from a wrong position,
oh,
by,
yeah,
censure and reproach.
Right.
So our fears, our pride oftentimes, our prejudices. But Jesus shows us that grace always goes before,
yeah,
these,
yeah,
prides and the fears and the prejudices.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, all right. My final question, Mfundisi, and that will be the end of it for today. How does showing physical touch, practical kindness, reflect the heart of Jesus?
Sure. Because Jesus' love was never abstract, was it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Never abstract, never abstract. You know, you're living in a world today where the word love is so easily used, you know, and but when Jesus used that word, man, it's agape. It's not all these other meanings. It was never abstract. He touched.
Yeah.
He healed. He washed feet. He fed the hungry.
Yeah.
He held children. It wasn't abstract. It was close.
Yeah.
It was compassion in action, as somebody said.
I like that. Yeah.
Jesus' compassion was not just an emotion. It moved into heal,
yeah,
feed the hungry, comfort the grieving. Similarly, genuine kindness involves translating empathy into practical,
right,
help for others.
Right.
I just love this quote. Yeah, and, you know, Matthew 25, for example, Jesus,
right,
says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was a stranger and you took me in. It was,
okay,
an abstract.
Okay.
I was sick and you visited me. And this is, I mean, this is separation, goat from the sheep. And this is it, the Matthew 25, this,
yeah,
is it.
Okay.
The condition of the heart, the condition of the church, the condition of God's people.
Right.
You know, love. Not abstract, but love in action.
Right.
And he says, in as much as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it
to me.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every time we show practical compassion, whether it's a meal or a visit or,
yeah,
a ride or,
yeah,
a smile or a hug, we are ministering not just for Jesus, but we're ministering,
absolutely,
to Jesus himself.
Absolutely.
Another commentator says the following: love is the underlying principle of God's,
yeah,
government in heaven,
okay,
and earth. And love must be the foundation of the Christian's character.
Okay. Okay.
I hear you.
Ah,
we can talk more. But,
indeed, indeed.
We'll
we still have the rest of the week of this. We'll be milking you dry of all the wisdom and the nuggets of wisdom you're sharing with us. Thank you very much, Pastor. Really appreciate your time and your insights.
My apologies for the delay in the beginning.
No problem, Pastor. That was Pastor Isaac Solomon talking to us again, leaving us with bombs exploding in our minds. Hopefully they will cause change so that we can be those people who are not just abstract lovers, but practical lovers, touching the untouchable.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.